On Thursday, New Year's Day, Heidi and I had lunch with our son and his family. We had black-eyed peas and cornbread. How about you? That was not unusual. Every New Year's Day, we eat black-eyed peas and cornbread. And that's okay. I could eat that every day. I love that. We also talked while we were together about family traditions during the holidays. It's interesting how some things become fixtures for families, isn't it? For example, we don't have any New Year's Eve traditions. We never have. We don't host a party. I try very hard to avoid going anywhere. In fact, over the last decade, since our kids have been out of the house, our greatest challenge on New Year's Eve has been staying awake until midnight, right? But it isn't that way for other holidays. We have some traditions on New Year's Day, on Christmas Eve, on Thanksgiving that are fixed traditions. Those traditions, like if you don't do them, family's mad about that, right? Things you always do, you do every year. Is your family like that? Maybe as I say that, you're going through your mind and you're thinking about some of your own family traditions. I was talking to my son about that, who has an odd fascination with family traditions, but it stirred my mind as I thought about that to think about the table and our tradition of observing this meal. It made me think about the traditions that God gave his people in the old covenant. You see, this is not new to us. It was actually part of God's covenant with Israel. They had days that they regularly observed every year. Days, interestingly, tied to this table. The Passover has unmistakable connections to what we're about to do. The Day of Atonement as well, that God set in place with all kinds of specific things to be remembered and procedures to follow, traditions that they were to rehearse every year on those occasions. And then my mind got to thinking about the sacrificial system. Sometimes traditions rehearse literally every day, again and again and again, with very detailed requirements of what was supposed to be done, how those sacrifices were to be done. If you want some casual reading this afternoon, go to Jeff's favorite book. Go to the book of Leviticus, and you can read all the details about how that was supposed to be done. In fact, sometimes for Israel, the fact that they did this again and again and again made it not just routine, but redundant. And because they were not careful, ultimately an empty ritual, even in Malachi 1, at least to the priests, a hassle to have to keep coming and doing these same things over and over and over again. And yet, even more important than all of that, as they did these things, there was something inadequate about them. The Hebrew writer alludes to that in chapter 10. This is Hebrews 10. Will you look at verse 1? He said, "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is this reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." And so even as they go through the God-ordained routine again and again, there was something inadequate about the whole thing. I wonder how much the people of the time could sense that. There needed to be a better sacrifice. There needed to be a final solution for sin. So if you go down to verse 11 of Hebrews 10, the writer talks about that. First, he alludes to what we've just been describing. In verse 11, every priest stands daily ministering, offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There it is in the nutshell. We're just doing the same thing over and over again, and it is inadequate. But, verse 12 says, he, talking about Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made the footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind I will write them. Then he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Do you see it? In verse 11, he alludes again to the inadequacy of the old system. But then he talks about what God has done through Jesus, the one sacrifice for all time that provides forgiveness. And so there are no more sacrifices. And as a result, he will go on to say in verse 22 of Hebrews 10 that we are able to draw near to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. All of which brings us to this moment and to this table and to this bread and this juice that we will share, our meal. Like Israel, God has given us a memorial, a reminder. In fact, it is interesting that Jesus introduces the meal literally on the night that they kill the Passover lamb. But it's a new meal that serves as a new memorial by which we remember a greater deliverance, a greater sacrifice. But it is not observed annually, like the Day of Atonement or Passover. Every week, we observe this memorial. That means in 2026, starting today, 52 times we will make our way to this moment, to this table, and follow the same simple procedures. These men will gather, prayers will be offered, trays will be passed, a small bit of bread will be eaten, a sip of juice, a simple, simple, simple process. It's so profoundly significant. The bread is the body. The juice is the blood. It reminds us of the sacrifice that provides forgiveness. And ultimately, heaven. And so today, in 2026, on this first Sunday, as we partake for the first time this year, let us ponder the meaning of the sacrifice, but not just today. May it never be, as we rehearse this meal again and again and again, that it ever becomes routine.